Make no mistake, evil is out there. It is strong. It is pervasive. It is insidious. And we know this. We know this because we have seen what it does. We have seen Christ crucified. Our Lord condemned by the very religious body that was supposed to acknowledge him, recognize him, that God had worked to prepare a way for him, corrupted, such that you have the priest, the high priest, saying it is better for one man to die than that the people should perish, and allowing a perfectly good and perfectly innocent, the only perfectly good and innocent man ever to live, to be handed over to the Romans to be killed. You have the great just society of the Romans, famed for Roman law, represented by the governor Pilate, washing its hands of the whole situation. And you have Christ raised up on this horrifying torture device that he might be destroyed. And it's at this point, this dark hour, that Joseph of Arimathea, a man high in the position of the world, comes to the governor Pilate and asks for the body of Jesus. One of the things that is required for an action like this, which is noted in the gospel, is courage. In the face of this great insidious evil that surrounds us, this darkness, we need courage above all. Courage to do the right thing, no matter what. But what is that courage born out of? Joseph of Arimathea didn't know what was going on. He had, as far as he could see, all of the hopes and dreams that were attached to Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah, as the Anointed One of God, had come crashing down. All he knew was that he loved this man. He recognized the goodness in this man. And so, risking everything, he and Nicodemus with him, as the other Gospels tell us, ask Pilate for the body of Jesus, take the body of Jesus down from the cross, prepare it as best they can for burial, and he puts it in his own new tomb, rolling a stone in front of it, that Jesus might not hang there on the cross on the next sacred day. As far as Joseph and Nicodemus knew, there was no reward to be gained for this. It was just an act of love. And this is precisely what we need in the face of the darkness that surrounds us, is love. We need courage. But that courage is not born out of an intellectual understanding of, oh yeah, well, this is what God is doing, and therefore this is what I have to do. And so, no. We don't know. We have no idea what God is doing, how he's working in and through the most hideous and pernicious evils of our day, of our generation. But we do know from the evidence that we have seen of what he did with the cross that he is doing that. And so we like Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, must take courage. But that courage doesn't need to be born out of understanding. It only needs, and in fact, the only safe way for it, safe origin of it, is love. Simple, good-hearted love that recognizes the goodness and clings to it and supports it and upholds it and honors it, no matter what the cost. As far as tradition goes, both Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus paid a terrible price in social terms for their audacious act of burying this condemned criminal. But it didn't matter. It was the right thing to do. And they did it out of love. The other thing to remember in terms of this is that when we are wrestling with the problem of evil, as the Apostle Paul says, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of sources of evil in high places. And this is hugely important to keep, for us to keep in mind as well, because the temptation is, as we recognize that evil is out there, the temptation is to identify the party, to identify the group, to identify even the individual who is responsible for the evil. But that too is a dangerous error. We think we have it identified. We think we have it all figured out. You know, it's those Pharisees. They're the bad guys. Oh, wait a sec. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. It's those who are high in the world, who are, have high social status, who are the bad guy. Oh, wait. Joseph of Arimathea was one of those men. It's even those who are out there. Oh, wait. What did we hear in the epistle reading? There was strife in the church over widows being neglected. Yeah, how much more terrible can you get? Like widows who are in need, who are being overlooked just because they're Greek speaking. Yes, evil is out there, but evil is also in here. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, as those who love him, motivated by love, strengthened by the courage that comes from that love, that is born out of that love, we also need to recognize, yes, evil is out there, but it's also in here, in my own heart. And my primary responsibility before God is to root that out. Only then, after I've taken the beam out of my own eye, can I then go and take the speck out of my brother's eye. And so we recognize that the phenomenon of evil is a spiritual phenomenon that is not one whereby we can go out and destroy evil by destroying people. Because the people are themselves held captive by this evil. And it's our job to rescue them. And how do we rescue them? How do we bring them out of this evil? Is it through intellectual debate and dialogue and discussion? Maybe in some cases. But mostly, it's through love. Through recognizing in them what is good and honorable, what needs to be upheld, what needs to be supported and encouraged. and simply doing that, even when we don't understand what it is that we're doing, why we're doing it. We're just doing what is the right thing to do, the loving thing to do, because that's what Christ calls us to do. The woman who went to the tomb, like Nicodemus, like Joseph of Arimathea, they didn't understand what was happening. As far as they knew, again, all of their hopes and dreams that were attached to Christ were crushed. They didn't even know how they were going to get the stone away from the door of the tomb. Interestingly, they could, even though it was still an audacious and daring thing to do, they were more able to do it because they were women. They weren't seen as a threat in the way that, say, the apostles coming to the tomb with myrrh and spices might have been seen as a threat. They were just women bringing myrrh and spices to anoint the body of Jesus. But even this was a dangerous business. And even in their situation, they didn't know, they didn't understand what was going on. All they knew was that the one whom they loved was dead. And they needed to go and anoint the body. And so they did. Again, courage born out of love. And as they come to the tomb, they see this angel who tells them that, why are you bringing myrrh? Myrrh is for the dead. He's not here. He's risen. And it's really interesting, the Greek here, they're alarmed, Mark says. At least that's how it's translated. Or amazed, as it's translated in that same Greek word is translated in other parts of Mark's gospel. But then what do? They run back, and it says they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. You could argue, wait, they shouldn't have been afraid. Well, they know. They know that the evil that is out there, they know that it waits to devour them, to destroy them. And so they don't say anything to anyone who is maybe a part of that system. But of course, we know who they did say, who they did speak to, the apostles. They brought the good news to the apostles. It's okay to be afraid. But we still, in the face of that fear, do what we have been told to do. Do the right thing. Do that good thing which is born out of love. And now we know. Now we have more information, more knowledge. We know that Christ is risen from the dead. We know that death no longer holds him captive. That God did not abandon his Holy One to the grave, nor will he abandon us who follow him to the grave. God is with us. And with that knowledge, we can say, understand all you nations and submit yourselves, for God is with us. And in this strength, in this courage, in this love of God and of his goodness, as we submit ourselves to him, we may be afraid. But we take courage. and we do the right thing by God's grace, by his strength, for him, out of love for him. Christ is risen.